Amen. I read this amazing story last night. Some may think it may be a slight exaggeration. I don't know. So I'm reading this story before we start the sermon. A mangy-looking guy goes into a restaurant and he orders food. The waiter says, "No way, I don't think you can pay for it." The guy says, "You're right, I don't have any money. But if I show you something you haven't seen before, will you give me the food?" "Deal," says the waiter. So the guy reaches in his coat pocket and pulls out a hamster. He puts the hamster on the counter. It runs across to the end, across the room, up the piano, jumps on the keyboard, and starts playing Gershwin songs. The hamster was really, really good. The waiter says, "You're right. I've never seen anything like that before. The hamster's truly good on the piano." So the guy asks for a hamburger. Now the guy downs the hamburger he ordered and asks the waiter for another one. "Money or another miracle," says the waiter. The guy reaches to his coat again and pulls out a frog. He puts the frog on the counter and the frog starts to sing. He has a miraculous voice and great pitch, a fine singer. A stranger from the other end of the counter runs over to the guy and offers him $300 for the frog. The guy says, "This is a deal." And he takes the $300 and gives the stranger the frog. The stranger runs out of the restaurant. The waiter says to the guy, "Are you crazy? You sold a singing frog for $300. It must have been worth millions." "Not so," said the guy. "The hamster is also a ventriloquist." I told you that might be a slight exaggeration. A slight exaggeration. God is so good to us. Recovery, 12 steps to peace. Now remember, I told you we are having this in sections. And the first section was steps 1, 2, and 3. Now today's sections are going to be a little different. And it's 5 altogether, 5 sections. And so today is cleansing and confession, steps 4 through 7. Get ready. It's cough it up and spit it out. Last week was give me 3 steps. Today is cough it up and spit it out. You know, amazing how somebody can have more peace in this place if they can learn to take the junk inside of them that they're carrying around that they refuse to let God work with. They refuse to let anybody else work with. They just try to carry it all around and it keeps building up. If they could just cough it up, confession, and spit it out, cleansing, God would do such a great job. So, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this hour. We thank you, God, for this opportunity, Lord, to bring your word to each and every person in here. Lord, we thank you, God. Also, we thank you for Sister Boone and all the things she did. And she was a mentor to so many people. And now she is in your presence, which is where she always wanted to be to start with. And so we thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Now, I'm still going to go through the other 3 steps from yesterday, last week, although each week those 3 steps are going to get smaller amount of information, because I don't want you to miss any of these steps. So here's the biggie. Everybody in this room, everybody hold your hand up. Everybody in this room is in a state of recovery. And what are we trying to do? We're battling sin, fear, pride, shame. Any attitude or any action that is not pleasing to God. Not only addictions, but again, attitudes and actions God wants us to work on and to recover the original being that God had created us to be in the garden. So the gospel is a recovery story. Steps 1 through 3, we did last week, is the heart of discipleship. Steps 4 through 7 is cleansing and confession. And of course, not doing it now. It's kind of odd I'm coughing at this moment. It's cough it up and spit it. I did a wedding yesterday in the woods. So, yeah, I'm trying to cough up the woods right now, praise. Yeah. Those those woodwinds are tough. All right. So here we go. Step number one. Here it is. Step number one. The struggle is real. Finding your way through the difficulties of life. Step number one. Admit you're powerless. Romans 7 and 4:18 says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." The Amplified Version says, "For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can call what is right, but I cannot perform it. I have the intention and urge to do what is right, but no power to carry it out." Now, is this some old dumped up sinner somewhere in an alley with his arm shot up, his vein got a needle in it? Is that who's saying this? No. The greatest apostle to ever walk this earth said that. And he's not just talking about you and me. He's talking about himself. And he says, "Why do I keep doing what I don't want to do? What I want to do and can't do?" He says, "It's not me, but the sin that still dwells within me. And so I've got to take it to Christ. Because once I take it to Christ, then he changes things. He's the ability to get things done." So, and again, I think it's so cool. I'm saying cough it up, spit it out. I had no idea that was going to be today's message and I was going to be in the woods. For matter of fact, Friday night and yesterday for this wedding and for the rehearsal. So, we came to believe there's a power greater than ourselves that could restore us to sanity. Philippians 2:13. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to do the work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. So, number two, we came to believe in God's power. And we just read this in Philippians and in Ephesians. God can do what we cannot do. Y'all say, "God can do what I cannot do." His power restores and renews. Say that. His power restores and renews. Then the same power that raised Jesus lives in us. Faith is plugging into the source. It's kind of cool about this. I was walking down with the bass. DC didn't know I was going to go play with Amanda with the bass. DC saw me walking out, and I was hitting the bass, and it was not picking up good. So he thought I was going in the office. So he cuts off the amp. I didn't know that. So I set the bass in Amanda's lap, and I said, "Play with him." And Amanda's going, "Nothing's happening." I said, "Nothing is happening." So I picked it up and nothing was happening. I walked all the way up here and I found out DC were grinning from ear to ear. And I turned the bass back on. You got to be connected to the power source if you're going to get by in this last day, okay? Faith is plugging in to the power source. And number three, the final one. I know you might get tired of me saying them over and over again, but I want it in your spirit. You got to have this in your spirit. So many times we're thinking it's for that guy. Or for that guy, or for the addict. It's for everybody. Everybody. See, here's Jesus not just walking to Peter on the water. There's people all over in that water drowning. And he's walking, he's not the one with six fingers. One of them said I had six fingers on it. I can't tell. That's got five there. Okay. Surrender God's care. Make a decision to turn over our lives and our will over to God. And, of course, make your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. And in Proverbs 3 and 5, you got to trust him in all your decisions and let him lead you. So belief must lead to surrender. And know this, surrender's not losing. When it comes to God, when you surrender to him, now when you surrender to Satan, that's losing. When you surrender to God, that's winning. It's winning by letting God take the lead. God's care is safer than our control. Amen? How many know it's kind of hard to let go of that control? Yeah. Okay. And remember this. We talked about last week. A parachute only works if you jump. Amen? And also a parachute is like a mine that only works when it opens. Amen? Remember, a drowning man, no matter how hard he swims, cannot save himself. Okay? So, get on up there. Here we go. There it is. Get up there. Here we go. Now, here's step number four. Ready? We're starting over again. Step number four. We're actually going to talk about the four steps, and these are actually stepping stones. These are stepping stones. Last week were building blocks. This week is stepping stones. It's four stepping stones to what you got to do to get to the other side. So here it is, the overview, and we're going to talk about these. Step number four, a fearless moral inventory. Step number two, confession to God, to yourself, to others. Number six, readiness for God's change. And number seven, a humble request for God's help. Now, so here's number four. Look at here. This guy's walking toward the light. The light is shining on him. He's walking toward God's light. That gets scary, doesn't it? Don't it get scary when you're walking toward God's light and he starts showing you things you don't want to see? Shows you your past. Shows you your present. Unforgiven sin. He shows you that. You got an attitude. He shows you that. So this takes courage. Takes a lot of courage. We're very good at turning our spotlight on other people. We even turn our spotlight on us, but we'll kind of know where to put it. And God goes, I want to show it to y'all. Okay? So here it goes. Step four is about courage. The courage to look inside. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, search me, O God, know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. This is not about drudging up shame. I can't say that enough. It's not about drudging up shame. It's about inviting God's light into the dark corners of our hearts. How many in here would actually say 100%, 100% that you hold absolutely in no way any grudges? Put your hand up if you do. You can say that. See? There's other things in us that God will say, you know what? I don't like that. But I love you enough that although I don't like it, I can help you with it. His love is not harsh. His love is healing. Amen? When my boys were little and I see them struggling, I'd go up and I'd help them. Of course, if you hear them say it, you think I went up with a whoop and I cut them in half. No, I was gentle. Don't look at me like that, son. I was gentle many times with my boys. And a lot of times when I was taking them in another room to spank them, I'd put them over my knee, and Bethany too, and I'd hit my leg while I was hitting their bottom end. So they heard a bunch of noise, but I was shielding them from all the pain. Well, it hurt them physically, I mean mentally, but I was shielding them. Every now and then I didn't shield them. Every now and then, my boys could be hard-headed. They got that from... Yeah, DC's doing it, looking over here. Yeah. All right. Here's the application. Ready? Be honest with yourself. God already knows. When I look at you and what you've done, I look at your actions and I judge you. I might not judge you harshly. I might just go, well, that's just them. Or they don't know any better. Or they do know better and they don't care. I judge you by your actions. But I judge me by my intentions. God also judged me by my intentions. The difference is my intentions are slanted. I see it one way and God says, that's what you meant to think. That's what you were thinking, but here's what was really going on. So sometimes it's hard to be honest with yourself, but know this, it's okay. God already knows. Get ready. Trust His love to hold you steady as you look within. I've carried people as a chaplain. I've carried them to a place where there was an accident, carried them to a place where there was a death. And I had my arm around them and I walked them to the door. And when they got to the door, they would grab the door and they couldn't open it. And as a man of God, I put my arm around them and I said, trust God to walk you through this and know that I'm here with you. And sometimes I had to stick my hand on the door with them and open the door as he walked in to see that person that had just died. And when they walk in, sometimes they even had to hold them up because it was such an emotional thing. And that's just me, a man, being powered through God. But can you imagine God holding you up? Holding you steady while you look at yourself? Not everybody else. It's easy to look at everybody else. Some people are so good at finding fault, I think they get paid for it. Remember, God's goal is not exposure, it's restoration. Changes the whole thing, doesn't it? He don't want to expose you. He wants to restore you. Lamentations 3 and 40, let us examine our ways and test them. Let us return to the Lord. Proverbs 28 and 13, whoever conceals his sins or his junk in his trunk does not prosper. But who confesses it and renounces it, to them they find mercy. When you go to God and ask him to turn the light on you, it's like cleaning out your closet. You find things that you didn't even know were there. How many's ever gone in the closet and said, well, that's where that was at? Go to your trunk and say, man, I've already bought three more pair of them things. I don't know where the rest of them are at. And there they were. Man, oh man, how many's got, look, if I've been giving you Christmas, my boys know this. I've given them Christmas presents for that year and Christmas presents from the year before. Because in hiding them from them, I hid them from me. It's like cleaning out your closet. You find things you didn't even know were there. Old shoes, expired snacks. Maybe in that Christmas gift that you meant to re-gift. It can be really, really messy. But it feels good to finally open the door. Some of us have closets so full, if you open the door, you get hit with a bowling ball full of bad decisions. Wow. God doesn't look inside of us to shame us. He asks us to look inside of us so he can heal us. Very, 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 very powerful. Here you go. How many feels like that sometimes? Steaming all up, steaming all up, steaming all up. Step 5 is about confession. The freedom of confession. Confess your sins one to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. James 5 and 16. Again, confession is not about shame. It's about freedom. Matter of fact, when you confess, what happens is the junk in your trunk keeps you in darkness. But when you confess, what happens is you let the light in. How many in here can actually say there's not one speck of pride in your life? Raise your hands. Raise it boldly. You see, there's things in us that we don't know about. We don't remember. We're so busy pointing at everybody else, we don't think about ourselves. So remember, healing comes when we get real. 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 32, 3 and 5, David said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away. But when I confessed, I found forgiveness and I found life. I don't know how many has ever seen a pressure cooker. My grandma used to use them all the time. My wife, DC's mom, used to use them all the time, way on back. I haven't seen a pressure cooker in a while. But my grandmama Lynn can take an old tough rooster. And if she tried to fry him right out of when she killed it, you couldn't eat it. It'd be like trying to chew rubber. But she put in that pressure cooker. And I go, is it ready, Grandma? She goes, no, get ready. Listen for the train. How many's ever heard the train in the pressure cooker? And when that train got faster, you knew that rooster was getting really, really tender. And Grandma would take that rooster and she'd put that juice on that rice. Lord, have mercy. Make a bishop kick out a stained glass window. It was so good. All right. Confession is not about humiliation. It's about liberation. Here we go. Y'all read that sign. $5 cuts, and we fix $5 cuts. I saw a sign one time that said $2 dry cleaning, and the next big sign beside it was another building said, we fixed the $2 dry cleaning. All right. So the next one is about change, the readiness to change. You know, the problem is we may want to change, but are we ready to change? That's the question. Hey, sometimes we're scared to change. Sometimes we won't change until we learn enough to change. Sometimes we won't change until we hurt enough to change. But this is all about change, being confident in this. He who begun a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus, Philippians 1:6. I've seen people that have become so comfortable being uncomfortable. Their life is in a turmoil, and they've gotten used to the calamity. I'm not talking about stuff you can't handle, because there's some things you can't handle, like when Brandon was talking about praying for Autumn. He's not asking for that. That's not asking for that. If he could change it, he would change it like that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about sometimes just an old attitude can get in your way. A temper can get in your way. And you just get so used to it, or your family gets so used to it, that's just the way they are. He'll calm down in a minute and everything will be okay. Kind of like the frog in the boiling pot. You drop a frog in the boiling pot, he jumps right out. But you put a pot in room temperature water, he'll stay right there. And you turn the heat up very slowly and very slowly. And he'll just swim around and get used to it. Turn it up again, he gets, oh, this is feeling good. And he'll sit there and swim around and get used to it until he boils. So, step 6 is about being ready for God to remove our defects. You see, this is the willingness, or your willingness meets your surrender. Willingness, surrender. Willingness, surrender. Because one thing we got to understand is we can't change ourselves. It's impossible. If you could change yourself, there's some things you can change. You can change your shirt. You can change your shoes. You can change your clothes. You can change your eating habits. But there's certain things that only going to the doctor can fix. And there's certain things only going to God can fix. Sometimes we have to loosen our grip on old habits, our excuses, our self-reliance, our grudges. Oh, wait, that's not a grudge. I tell you, that is not a grudge. Okay, then how come whenever I mention their name, you do like that? And when you mention their name, you look like Kirk Douglas. I'm confident there's some grudge in there somewhere. So, when are you willing to give this stuff up to God? Okay? So now, readiness means we stop clinging to our old ways and we open our hands to God's new work. Lord, do it. Do this. It is good stuff. Do you know that alcoholics have been doing this stuff for years? Maybe not this, not the way we're doing it. They're doing it a whole different way. And a lot of times it's not even close to what we're getting. We're getting in-depth. You know, Remember when some of the B5 guys would come in here and they get up and they would testify? This is some of the stuff they were getting. Although y'all's are more supercharged. This is even deeper than what they were getting. Ezekiel 36 and 26. I will give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit in you, meaning I will give you a new attitude. Attitude. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We take this to mean salvation only. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Or a new creation has come, the old are gone, and the new is here. That's not just salvation, that's sanctification. You know, the Pentecostals a lot of times give sanctification a bad name because they say, some of those old guys will say sanctification was women wearing your hair long, guys wearing your hair short, women not wearing any makeup, women wearing dresses, you know, all year round, whatever they did, and men, you had to wear long sleeves and all kinds of stuff. It was all an outside stuff, and that is so, so, so wrong. Sanctification. Here it goes. Think about this. Salvation gets us prepared for heaven. You can't get to heaven without salvation. Sanctification gets us prepared for work and for earth and for the battle and for the work. And so what it means is I'm getting a new attitude. I'm getting a new change. Some of those people I used to hate, I now love. Some of the people I went across the street to help, I reach out freely and help them now. I can show love where I used to couldn't show love. That's what sanctification is. You know, it's kind of like if you think that God's just going to save you and leave you like you are, it's kind of like, and you're going to let you take care of everything. It's kind of, how anybody's ever sat in a barber chair and you held their hands and held the scissors while they cut your hair? Come here, barber. Let me hold your fingers. Let me hold your hand. Here's what I don't know. I can look in the mirror. I can tell them a little bit more left on the right, a little bit more, you know. And finally, when I said, I want you to take more off the left, she said, well, if you quit looking so long to hear that, I would. I thought she was joking until I held my head up. She said, never mind. Put it back down. I was lumped to hit it. All right. You got to take the scissors out of your hand and let God do the cutting. You see, God is more committed to your transformation than you are. Now, y'all are awful quiet today. Y'all scare me when you get quiet. If you decide to throw fruit, make sure it's not canned, okay? Ain't that sweet? Of course, I never had kids that had little feet that little, but I told a guy last night at that wedding, he said, that DC is a big rascal. I said, that's how I used to buy his school clothes, you know, and his baby clothes. I said, how? And I bought his diapers. I said, how? I said, I sold his shoes to the circus. All right. We're getting ready to quit, believe it or not. Y'all look like y'all want to be left alone. So here it goes. Ready? Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. 1 Peter 5 and 6. Step 7 is about humbly asking God to remove our shortcomings. Humbly don't mean you're going, Lord, please move them. Humbly means you get out of the way. God can do a whole lot more for us and with us if we get out of the way. Okay, so now, humility is not thinking of yourself less, but it's thinking of yourself, thinking less of yourself is thinking of yourself less. Think about that. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. It's the ability to love the unlovable and do the unlovable, do the ungodly things that you see. Nasty stuff, and you get right down in the middle of it, and you help somebody in that mess. You see, humility is admitting, God, I can't fix me, but you can. Wow. God delights in answering your humble prayer for help. Amen? Matthew 7 and 7, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Here's one of the most powerful verses in the entire Bible. Psalm 51 and 10, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Restore the joy of my salvation. David hadn't lost his salvation, but his salvation was so tainted by the way his actions and attitudes were. He said, Lord, create me a clean heart. Give me a better attitude and renew a right attitude in me. Give me a better heart so I can think and restore a right spirit within me. I wrote this down. I tried to put this as a mighty army this morning. I may still put it as a mighty army, but it's so long. Peace doesn't hold grudges. Peace doesn't get bitter. Peace doesn't have to be right all the time or prove you're right. Peace doesn't have to have its own way or have the last word. Peace is a place of power. Peace trusts. Peace believes the best. Wow. That's very powerful. It's like a child asking their parent to help them tie their shoes. I watch them struggle for hours. You know, I watch my youngins struggle for hours trying to, I let them learn. Y'all got to learn. But after a while, I'd step in and say, do you want daddy to help? If you want daddy to help, I will. We live in a day of the redneck tech world. You know what the redneck tech world is? A redneck with a computer in his hand. And what I have discovered with the redneck tech world is they think that duct tape and Google search can fix all their lives. It can't. Only God can. Here's the point. God never turns a humble request for help away. I'm getting ready to close. DC, come on up here, buddy. I'm getting ready to close. This is a backpack. And Junior here is throwing out rocks. Some of y'all in here, your backpack is awful heavy. I can tell it by the way you look sometimes. You got rocks of disappointment. You got rocks of anger. You got that little rock hid away saying you ain't got any grudges and there's two or three in there weighing you down. You say there's no pride, but there's a couple of rocks of pride that you carry around all the time. You got all kinds of rocks. And once you go to God and say, God, examine me and show me and let me start throwing those rocks out. Man, that's awesome. Step 4-7 is not marching through shame, but it's a walk with a gentle shepherd. In step 4, he examines us with compassion. In step 5, he listens to our confession with mercy. In step 6, he shapes us with patience. In step 7, he lifts us with love. The God who began this work in you, our Heavenly Father, will not abandon you. His love is gentle. His grace is sufficient. His power is made perfect in your weakness. That guy's high-stepping, ain't he? There's no way I'd try to high-step like that with that back on my pack. Doug, when you were in boot camp, in the Marine Corps, did you ever have to take a backpack and go walk anywhere? Did they keep it empty for you? What's the heaviest pack you've carried? You said you carried 125 pounds. Sometimes I have a hard time carrying a shopping bag, a 40-pound shopping bag that's empty. 125 pounds. Did you ever have to run with it and walk with it? How far did you have to, what's the farthest you had to walk and run with it? 26 miles? 25, a marathon. Almost a marathon with 125 pounds on his back. Were you tired when you got through? He said, just a little. Do you know, that's an awful thing to think about. And those guys in Afghanistan, in Iraq, going through every day carrying that kind of pack on their back, going into combat and going through checking stuff. And it's terrible, but when at the end of the mission, they could drop it off and rest. Unless you aggravated the drill sergeant, and then you wore it a little bit longer, didn't you, bruh? Not you necessarily, but somebody. Matter of fact, I know Doug never got in trouble because he's so awesome. But there's some of us in here tonight, today, that you got a backside on. And it's loaded down with cares and with worries and imperfections. In other words, you got a lot of junk in your trunk. And it weighs you down. And so you're thinking, man, you try to adjust to it and try to adjust to it, and there comes times you just get exhausted and you have to just lay down for a while and you get back up and start over again. My question is, aren't you tired of being exhausted? See, this isn't about beating somebody up and saying, if you mess up, you got to start all over again. This is about God meeting you where you are right now. Meeting you right here, right now. You ain't got to show us. You ain't got to tell us about the junk in your trunk. You ain't got to tell us. There was a lady that came to church, and her husband said, don't you talk to her. Don't say a word to her. She's only coming because she wants to make me happy. She don't like church, and she don't like preachers. So keep your mouth shut when you're around her if you don't mind, Pastor. I said, okay. And I felt bad because I couldn't even walk up and say, hey, how you doing? So finally I said, well, can I at least ask her how she know, hello, how you doing? He said, well, you can do that. He was a fisherman, so when he was out, she was out. When he was in, she was in. And finally I noticed he was out for 2 weeks, but she was there for 2 weeks. He told everybody in the church not to talk to her about God or anything, so she came into church. I felt so bad because everybody's on this side and she sat by herself on that side. And while I was preaching, she erupted. I don't mean just cried. She erupted. And she started wailing. And her husband told us, don't you, no matter what, don't do anything. And so she kept crying. We're trying to listen to her husband. I couldn't take it anymore. I walked up to her and I said, Lord, you got to shield me because she is pretty tough. I think she could take me 2 out of 3. And I said, can I pray for you? Can I help you in any way? And she started wailing again. And she wouldn't stop crying. So I told the church, we were over, church was over. I said, y'all go ahead and leave. It's just me and my wife. And I said, please tell me what's wrong. And she says, I want to be saved. And I said, we can do it right now. She says, not here. I got to talk some more. I said, okay, let's talk some more. She said, I said, fine. I said, you want to go to our house? She said, let's go to your house. And on the way, her husband just come in, and he saw her, and he pulled over on the side of the road, and she pulled over on the side of the road. And I said, get behind me, Satan. Not her husband, but the timing. She gets back in her car, and she said, let's go. He went that way, and she kept following. She got in the house, and she said, I said, what's holding you back? You won't let go. What's holding you back? She said, because I've got to stand up in front of the church and tell them every sin I've ever done. It says to confess. I got to tell them everything I've ever done. And I don't want to tell them everything I've ever done. I said, let me give you a little hint there. Ain't nobody in the church wants to tell everybody everything they ever done. See, that's not what God's talking about. Talk to Him and confess that you can't make it without Him. He said, can I be saved right now? I said, right now. And on my living room floor, she accepted Jesus Christ. And then she started crying a different kind of way. This time she had her hands put up. And she's just bawling. Not wailing, but bawling. I said, are you okay? She said, yes. I said, how do you feel? She said, like I just swallowed a bowling ball. And she was never the same again. Once she found out, she didn't have to carry that backpack and she didn't have to open it up in front of everybody and show them that backpack. That's what she was afraid of. Because she lived a rough life. I said, the only person who's got to know about that backpack is God. You and God. The same way today. Recovery is not about perfection. It's about progress. God doesn't just forgive, He transforms. Does it mean you got to be perfect today? No. If I had to be perfect today, I might as well go ahead and crank up and leave. I'm not perfect. But I thank God that the Savior that I hold on to is very perfect. That's what it's all about. Whenever God looks down at me and when Satan, the devil, is trying to accuse me, Jesus steps up and says, gets in between the devil and the Father and says, I got this. Some of y'all right now need to understand that God is waiting. Satan's accusing right now. But you got to understand, Jesus wants to stand in between God and Satan and say, I got this. And so God doesn't see your imperfections. He sees Christ's perfection. And then Christ turns around and unloads your backpack and says, let's go. It's a very powerful, powerful, powerful thing. Sister Frankie's up here. Anybody else wants to come up here? Maybe you want to unload some things. Come on up here. If you don't have to pray for yourself, pray for somebody else. But today's a good day to get rid of that backpack and you ain't got to unload it in front of everybody. Just give it to God. You can come if you want to right now. We're going to pray for Autumn. Come here, Brandon. Brandon, come over here. God, we know that you know. And that brings comfort. Ask you right now, Lord, to touch Autumn. She's your child. You said she was the apple of your eye. Touch her, touch her parents. And Lord, stand in. Let Jesus get in between Autumn and those seizures. And let everybody know that you got this, God. And I thank you for it right now. And touch her parents, her grandparents, her family, and let them know that you're standing in between. And you're saying you got this. We thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, heal this precious child of God. Strengthen her parents and grandparents along the way. We know you got this. Amen. You the man, bro. I bless you, bro.
Thank you.
Come here.
Let's pray for this guy. He tried to crack a cement wall with his head.
How bad you mess up cement?
I couldn't tell. Having headache.
Where'd you hit your head?
Here.
Okay. I see it now. I'm colorblind, so I can't. I was just looking at different knots. There you go. Does it still hurt?
It's a headache. It's hard to do.
If you don't go to the doctor, eventually they're going to come to you. You know that.
I did call him. I knew what he did do.
Okay. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, touch my brother. Touch his head. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing for him right now in the name of Jesus. Lift him up. Strengthen him, God. Lord, stand in between him and this pain and say, I got this. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Be careful there, bro.
Which is Friday. We're going to take them two trees down. We need all of the able bodied younger men.
10th this week.
This week is coming.
Okay. On the 10th of this week, here's your chance to show how strong you are, how big and bad you are. They're taking down these two trees in front of the office by the old sanctuary. Those two trees are likely about to fall down. Matter of fact, a couple of them, the only things holding them together, the termites are holding hands. Okay. So we need all the young men and older men, but we need all the men, all able bodies here to help do this amazing feat. The guy says he knows exactly what he's doing, and so we're going to trust him because he does it. He not just says it, he does know what he's doing. Amen. It always scares me when somebody says, trust me, I know what I'm doing. But this man does know what he's doing, but we need all the help here. What time? Okay, meet out here 10 o'clock Friday morning. And Doug, can you send that out to everybody? At least to the board members. Okay. I remember I saw something you sent, but just. I'm not sure what he's saying, but I think it's got something to do with look at it. I get these long text message emails. I read the first couple of lines. I'll come back to that later and never come back. All right. And Eddie's done a little thing up here, so that's going on too. Isn't God good? All right, let's say the Lord's Prayer. Isn't this 12 steps some good stuff? I mean, I know it's not shouting, jumping time, but if this doesn't help you grow, and help you think about things. It's amazing. And that's why it's been so successful over the years, even when they do it secular-wise. But we're not doing it secular-wise. We're taking it like, wow. We're taking it like 30 degree, or say 30 stories higher than what they do. We're way up there. And because we're doing it God's way. And it really is very, very, very powerful and very effective. And so we've got seven more to go, but it's not seven more steps. We only got three more sermons on this, but there's not seven more to go. There's five more to go, but three more sermons. So look forward to it, and know that God's got you, and He's not going to hurt you. God ain't going to hurt you. I never hurt my boys when I was trying to teach them something. You know, I couldn't help it. They jumped off the roof before I told them to jump. All right. That's what DC and Daniel would do. They would get up on the roof and they holler, I'm over here looking. And they're back behind me and holler, catch me, Daddy. And they're already in midair when I'm turning around to catch them. That's not a good plan, boys. But God can do this. Ready? Let's say the Lord's Prayer. And ask Brother Steve this message in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive